Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, Numbers 260 to 346. M.R. Number 319, History of Adventists in Italy. September 18, 1885, Dr. Vincenzo Guerini, a most promising, affable Italian, filled a tooth for me, from which the filling had come out. He is considered a superior workman in Naples, Italy. He is full in the faith. He filled 300 cavities at the last conference for our people, for which he would receive nothing. September 19, 1885. At 6:30, had a consultation with the brethren Bordeaux, their wives, and Brother Whitney and his wife. We were talking in regard to the best way to help the Italian brethren. We received some light by talking over the matter together. September 21, 1885. Brother Mallon bore an excellent testimony. He is an Italian. His wife was educated in Holland and speaks three languages. She is a woman of uncommon ability. September 23, 1885. It was considered advisable that as soon as it could be well brought about, Bordeaux should go to Torre Pellice in Italy to labor, to hold what the truth has already gained and to gain still others to the truth. Brother and Sister Mallon live in this place. Brother Mallon is a publisher, has a printing office. Daniel, Bordeaux, then presented his plans that France and Italy be not encouraged to unite with Switzerland, but become a separate conference and use their means among themselves to build up their own conference. This I earnestly opposed, for the influence would be bad. It would not lead to union and harmony in the work, but to separate interest, and they would not labor for that oneness that the Lord demands. September 24, 1885. Attended early morning meeting. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I had the burden to speak of the different nationalities and the necessity of union and harmonizing in their efforts, that Italians, Germans, French, Swedes, and every tribe and nation have not six paths, but only one model to copy, and this one mold to receive. Jesus Christ, the perfect example. 16a, 1885, pages 23 to 27. Diary, The Journey to Europe, July 7th to September 24th, 1885. I present that my brethren shall understand just how I treat this matter. The law of God was the great subject of controversy in heaven. It is the great subject of controversy ever since the fall of Satan, and will continue to be the great test question showing the loyal and the transgressors in two parties. November 20, 1885. I have a conversation with Elder Whitney. He presents before me that necessity of our speedily visiting Italy. They need help at this time. November 23, 1885. Have conversation with Elder Whitney. He read letters from Brethren D. and Bordeaux, urging our going to Italy, and Daniel urges us come around through Geneva. But this will cost time and money, and as our tickets take us on that route in returning, we decide to go direct to Italy, leaving Basel next Thursday morning, which will bring us into Torre Pellice about noon. December 6, 1885. In the evening I spoke from Matthew 14, verse 52. A young man consented to serve as my interpreter. His father encouraged him to do this. We hope this effort will help him. He says it is the first time he has interpreted for anyone. He has a good education, and we hope he will have moral courage to take his stand on the true platform. His father seems interested to hear me speak. December 9, 1885. How little knowledge these people have of the laws of life and health. But should you try to enlighten them, they would take it as an offense. We can only hope that the truth will take hold upon the hearts of some, and then they will be elevated and sanctified through the truth. From what we see with our eyes, we think the cattle generally are well cared for, much better than the women. December 11, 1885. He, the owner of a hall Adventists wished to rent, was smooth as only an Italian can be, but nonetheless determined. December 13, 1885. Two brothers and a son of one are ministers. These three understood English. December 22, 1885. Received a large bundle of letters from Brother Daniel, Bordeaux. He writes tenderly, "May the Lord guide his servant in judgment is my prayer, and spare his life until his work is done. He does too much, and we know not how to hinder him. He has an active brain that cannot find repose and rest." 30, 1885, 4. Diary, Labors in Switzerland, Number 3, December 16 to 31, 1885. I attended the morning meeting. There was quite a large gathering of Germans, French, Italians, and English. After meeting, Dr. Vincenzo Guerini, an Italian, filled a tooth for me. He is a refined gentleman, a dentist. He is considered the best workman in Naples. He is fully in the truth, a man of excellent spirit. At 6:30 a.m. had a consultation with Brethren Bordeaux, Whitney, and their families. We were considering the best way to help the Italian mission. We can see only one way, if we can bring it to pass, to connect Brother and Sister Malin from Torre Pellice with the Basel Publishing House, and Bordeaux with his family go to Italy and occupy their house. The talent of Brother and Sister Malin is much needed in the publishing house at Basel. One brother, who has been laboring in Naples, Biglia by name, had been unwilling to come under the control of the conference. Yet he depended on them for means to carry on the work in his own way. He had manifested a spirit of independence. He expressed himself with deep feeling and confessed his unconsecrated condition. He said, "I have heard and read about the mission of Sister White, but now I have seen and handled this matter myself. I acknowledge that the power of God has come to my heart through her testimony. I receive it as from God. I humble myself before God. God's voice in reproof of my sins has come to me through Sister White. I had a talk with Brother Whitney in regard to Brother and Sister Malin's uniting their talent with the publishing house in Basel. It is thought best to carry this through. May the Lord help in working up this matter." We left Basel April 16th and arrived here safely and are all as well as usual. We were some wearied as it took us till Friday 4 o'clock to reach our destination. Our tickets took us by Milan, and we had the privilege of visiting the cathedral there. This is one of the greatest cathedrals in Europe. We saw some other interesting things. I spoke to the people here in Torre Pellice on Sabbath. I was so thankful for the blessing of the Lord that I felt, and also those assembled felt it. We had a precious season. Today I go 5 miles out where Brother Bordeaux has been laboring to speak at 4 o'clock. Evening meetings are very taxing to me, for I cannot sleep after speaking till midnight. Elder Bordeaux and Brother Biglio went to Villar Pellice to fill the appointment given out for me. The hall where they hold their meetings was packed full, and then there was a large number, from 100 to 200, who could not get in, so a Brother Gaimet preached to the crowd outdoors while Elder Bordeaux to those inside. Thus, two meetings were going on at the same time. My soul is burdened for poor, benighted Italy. I weep and pray over the matter, begging for wisdom and the power of God that he will help the laborers here, that the truth shall triumph, and that the work shall move on against the darkness and superstition and error. We cannot appreciate the truth only in contrast with error. With the dark background, false doctrines, and error, the truth shines forth clear and connected, link after link, uniting in a perfect whole. It binds all that is good and true together and connects them with heaven. My text was Matthew 9, verse 28 to 30. The congregation were, many of them, intelligent men and women. I presented the truth in its simplicity, that old and young could understand. This was the manner of Jesus' preaching. He taught the people in simplicity. He used no large words that the unlearned could not understand. The unlearned, the veriest child, could understand his words. The elder of the Baptist Church sent a request by one for the privilege of asking some questions and making some remarks after the discourse. Some prominent members of his church were present. He stated he wished to present his ideas. "None of these men will open their churches for us to speak to their congregations, and yet when we have to crowd into little rooms and go out in the open air, they would press their opposition to the truth even under these circumstances. April 26th, we had profitable conversation with Brother Biglia in regard to his future field of labor, as he is now desirous to give himself full to the work. April 19th, 1886. It is a hard field, but not any harder field than Jesus had to work in, no harder hearts than Jesus had to meet, no greater discouragements than Jesus met daily. Our prayer to our Heavenly Father is that light may shine in upon the moral darkness of the people here in these Piedmont valleys. April 20th, 1886. The Vaudois ministers are satisfied to be supported, to keep the people in a state of ignorance. They are religiously without life and practical godliness, and are content to remain so. April 21st, 1886. Brother Biglia arrived here. He called on Mr. Mallon and expected to meet him as he had done, but was treated very rudely. We had met him only about an hour before. Brother Biglia had not heard of his apostasy, and he was greatly shocked. He asked where Bordeaux lived, and if Brother White had arrived at Torre Pellice. He answered roughly that he knew nothing about them, and he had nothing to do with them. April 24th, 1886. There is a Vaudois church and a Catholic church in this place, but the Protestant church is as firmly closed against us as is the Catholic. We will have to reach the people through God in some way. A tent is sent for, and that will be tried ere long. April 27th, 1886. Superstition, unbelief, and ignorance prevail here in Italy among these Vaudois. Has the glory forever departed from this people, the descendants of the Waldenses? The religion, systems, and forms have sunk into apostasy. Will they never rise again? There is in Christianity that which these churches do not possess. 62, 1886, 7, 9, 11, 20. Diary, second visit to Italy, April 15th to 29, 1886. There is one man who has been laboring in Naples, who by appointment met us in Torre Pellice, Italy, and we labored with him and sought most earnestly to help him to take hold of the work, not as a fighter, contending and debating, as was his habit, driving people away from the truth rather than into it. He saw we talked the truth, not with storm, not pelting the people with denunciations like hailstones. This brother from Naples said he had received much light, and would labor in altogether a different manner than he had done. The Italians are an excitable people. They will bring every power to bear suddenly, and under great excitement will exclaim, "Is this so? What will you do? Will you keep the Sabbath? Say yes or no." They are as sharp as a razor and cut off the ears of the people and make them mad, and that is the end of the business, so far as converting them to the truth is concerned. Now we have to work with these men who are really intelligent, just as we worked with them one by one in the infancy of the Seventh-day Adventist cause, separating from these precious souls their unsanctified ways and manners, talking to them about Jesus, his great love, his meekness, his lowliness, his self-denial. These rough stones we bring, if possible, into the worship of God, where they will be hewed and squared, and all the rough edges removed, and they be polished under the divine hand until they will make precious stones in the temple of God and shall be living stones, emitting light. Thus they may grow up into a holy temple for God. Brother Bordeaux occasionally attends these meetings, in the stables, but the principal workers are Italians. Italians can stand this atmosphere much better, so we are seeking to educate the Italians to go into the stables, and when once the people are interested, then halls are hired. These halls are generally only rooms in a private dwelling, which will hold about 100 people. Then Elder Bordeaux, our laborer in Italy, speaks to them. But if they should once get the impression that he would not condescend to meet them in the stable, they would say, "Because he is an American, he thinks himself too good to associate with us, and we will not go to hear him." Brother Guymet, an Italian, is doing what he can. We tried to educate him. He can talk both French and Italian, so he is fitted for this field. This brother walks up the rugged mountains through the defiles in paths where precipices are on either side, and where in fogs, which are so common to these mountains, a stranger would most surely imperil his life. But one who is accustomed to these trails can find his way, but he dare not go alone. He is holding meetings in three different villages, one 5 miles away, another 7, and another 3. He goes on foot to these places, holds his meetings commencing at 8 o'clock, and then walks home, getting to his bed about midnight. This is done night after night. We left W.C. White with Brother Guymet to attend the meeting in the stable. Released March 7th, 1973.